So now I come from a small town south of Seattle called Whitestown.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the council meeting for March 21st, 2017. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Mrs. Baker, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, and Kim.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen had indicated last week that he would not be here this evening. So without objection, I'd like to consider his absence as being excused. Also, Councilmember Gamble contacted me earlier this evening, said he'd be a few minutes late. I have the sense that it could be 15 or 20 minutes late. Okay. Councilmember Davis will go ahead and announce as he enters chambers. Will everybody please stand? And Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Thank you. We do have a sign-in sheet. We'll go ahead and call off the sign-in sheet initially. Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers at 7:03, right after the pledge. All right, the first person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Linda Carlston. Ms. Carlston.
Good evening. I'd like you to know I appreciate all the hard work that you do and all the good input you get. I just have a firm belief in the term limits, in respecting what the voters vote for. And at this point, option B is probably the best option to mentor people and have an easy transition for everyone. I've spoken before on this issue. I researched it. I'm uncomfortable, and I'm from some of my information comes from the council meeting notes, minutes, some from the Monroe Monitor. I understand that the votes that made this go through, that there's a question, there were about 3,400 people that voted for term limits, and there were just under that that were registered voters who didn't vote. I understand that's not a very big number, but the way our system is set up is to count the votes that voted, and I don't think it's fair to say that people who didn't vote, the council is going to take those votes and vote against what the other people are voting for. And I feel that that's the attitude that I've heard from some people, not from most. So I know I'm being very general, and that's on purpose. But I just want to say I do believe that because it was voted in, that we should respect that vote.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Ms. Angus Snapka. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and thank you for coming.
Can there really be anyone in the room that doesn't know my name and address at this point?
I share your concerns, Mayor Thomas. My name is Erin Angus Snapka, and I live at 421 South Lewis Street. And that's in Monroe.
Erin, you pull the mic up.
Oh,
you don't have to go. There you go.
We do have microphones on the ceiling also.
Really?
Yeah, we do.
Cool.
We won't count that against your time, though.
No, it's very brief.
Go ahead.
So I share the concerns that some of you have voiced about going against the supposed will of the people and just outright repealing the term limits. But I think the fact remains that the term limits just aren't working, and you know, you're the city council and you're obligated to do something about that because you're the city council, and you've been voted for, and you know, I would suggest maybe changing the limit to maybe 3 terms and not repealing it outright, but I will accept your judgment in this matter. I didn't feel, you know, thinking back to the vote, I didn't feel that there was a lot of explanation that went into the 2-term limits issue at the time. You know, it was a very brief explanation, and, you know, it was in a sort of politically charged setting, and people were thinking of, you know, entrenchment at the federal level, which is obviously an issue. So, I mean, you've done the public hearings, and it's not as though an overwhelming number of people voted for in the advisory vote, and it was an advisory vote in the first place. So, you know, it seems, you know, very acceptable to me personally, you know, to go to another term, 3 terms, you know, for a total of what? What's 3 times 4? 12.
Yes.
It is 12. 12 years. That sounds great to me.
That's all. Bye.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the city council this evening on any issue? Okay. Seeing nobody, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford to approve the consent agenda with a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Let me count. 5-0. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next item. Now, this is now under new business. Item number 1, AB 17-055, resolution number 010-2017, declaring sole supplier of CPEX progressive cavity pumps.
Okay, good evening. As the mayor went through, we have a proposed resolution identifying a sole source provider for these pumps. The treatment plant, we have an existing CPEX pump. Its current condition is damaged and beyond repair. We're looking to replace that pump. The problem, the anticipated cost of a replacement is around $15,000 that state law requires us to go out for competitive bid for that item. The problem with an alternative pump in this application is it requires extra mechanical work, electrical work, and control work. That burden is extra cost to the city in this application. Therefore, a sole source in this particular application is the best in the best interest for the city. So, it's pretty straightforward without a lot of talk about the specifics on sludge pumps. Field any questions.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Okay, so let me get this straight. We're currently using the CPEX cavity pump.
Yeah. The CPEX is a manufacturer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's only this particular model of cavity pump. I don't know what a cavity pump is, but I assume it has something to do with the pumping.
So yeah, it's a progressive cavity pump. There's other manufacturers of progressive cavity pumps.
Okay.
In this application, no other manufacturers.
But different models?
Not this model. Similar, the pump works in the same way, but the sizes are different.
And for
for example, the intake plumbing, right, the discharge plumbing would have to be altered. So we would have to get a mechanical contractor in to redo the plumbing. Each pump manufacturer comes with its own local control panel. So the local control panel would have to be changed out, electrical work, and the control systems would have to be modified. So it works with our programmable logic controllers and works in auto mode through our SCADA system. So there would be a bunch of extra work, financial burden to the city if we went with another manufacturer. And so the current system is a CPEX system, a CPEX pump would fit right in place other manufacturers, it wouldn't fit there.
So it's more cost effective to have this particular, this one model type brand.
Yes, because it would eliminate the need for the extra work to make this an alternative manufacturer fit.
Okay. And these are readily available. I'm just thinking the worst possible case. I don't know enough about
it. They're readily available. The fact that if we put an order in this week, it would probably be 6 to 9 week lead time for us to get it.
I mean, answer my questions, I'll go ahead and make the motion. Move to approve resolution number 010-2017, declaring Granite Engineering Products the sole supplier of CPAC's progressive cavity pumps, and authorizing the waiver of otherwise applicable competitive purchasing requirements in order to procure the same.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Kanth, a second from Councilmember Hanford, for the requested action that is in Agenda Bill number 17055 as written in that agenda. Councilmember Cutaback.
John, you mentioned in here when you talked about the facility modifications, what would be, do you know a cost? Like, what would be the substantial cost to do all that?
The electrical portion and the control portion would be approximately $3,000 to $4,000.
Okay.
I got an estimate about $3,500, I think, a little ways. Okay. The mechanical portion, to get a mechanical contractor in there to do that, it's $2,000.
Okay.
Probably.
$2,500. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Councilmember Kent?
Just one more question. So in the event the pumps collapse and CPEX is no longer available or in this particular regional producer no longer exists or something, is this common to have a single pump? I'm just thinking if we have to put something in an emergency, we're going to have to go down to the, just switch everything over to a totally different
pump. Yeah, we would have to make the modifications for another alternative system.
So there's an alternative generic connection where you take out pump A and put in pump B and it'll just run. You're going to have that kind of an overhead.
So that's what we're looking for. It's just a take the pump out.
Right, and what I'm understanding is you can only get that with the existing product. You could, there's no generic connection for pump A versus pump B.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Any other questions? Any more discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none, go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 17056, resolution number 011-2017, designating official city newspaper, authorizing mayor to sign agreement. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, the city of Monroe issued an advertisement for bids for an official newspaper on February 1st of 2017. Two bids were received, one from the Herald, one from the Monroe Monitor. The Herald was chosen as the top proposal, and the attached agreement for legal newspaper services have been vetted by the Herald and by our city attorney. Staff requests approval of the resolution designated Herald as the official newspaper for the city of Monroe, authorizing the mayor to sign the associated contract.
Any questions or a motion? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I like the fact that it's going to speed up the time that it takes for fully put ads in and notices. So appreciate that. Seems like a nice decision. I move to approve resolution number 011-2017, designating the Daily Herald as the official newspaper of the city of Monroe, and authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement for provision of official legal newspaper services, and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action as stated in Agenda Bill number 17-056. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cutaback.
So I understand, obviously, having it daily and speeding up the process is a way to go. What was the other criteria or evaluation used? It just said upon evaluation, it was deemed that they were the best bid. What else? Was cost considered? Or
cost was considered.
Do you know what the price
timeliness was considered. there were several factors like that that our clerk put into the evaluation. I don't recall exactly what the other ones were.
Okay. And do you know what the price difference was?
I believe they were pretty comparable. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, it depends on how often you notice things. And
sure.
There's not a standard amount, and then how long the notice is. And so it can vary.
Okay. Was there anything, do you know if there was anything you were missing going to the Herald versus like the amount of readers in the Monroe area, or was there anything about readership or how many Monrovians it reached? I think it's Monrovians, isn't it? That it would reach?
Well, the Herald is a daily newspaper.
Right.
That serves the people of Monroe.
Snohomish County and Everett,
Well, I don't know what the official people readership in Monroe is on the Herald versus the Monitor.
Just curious. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
You asked all my questions. Thank you. I wish we had more information. I'd like to know more about comparison.
Yeah.
I have to get late to Monroe Monitor just being a local paper. So that's why I'm really hesitant. Unless we're saving some significant money, I can understand the timeliness issue, but my looking at it, I think we're saving maybe 2 days, 3 days.
4 days.
Well, I saw two or three when I was looking at the comparison charts. But anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, there's a motion on the table for the request and action in Agenda Bill number 17-056. We'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 3. This is AB 17-057, authorizing the mayor to sign amendment number 2 to the Republic Services Solid Waste Contract. Ms. Hasser.
Good evening, Council, Mr. Mayor. So what we have before you tonight is a second amendment to our contract with Republic Services. When we switched over to Republic, one of the pricing tiers they had dropped was offering monthly service on recycling and yard waste. It was expected that was going to encourage people to do more recycling, which the people who are doing recycling, they're still doing the same amount of recycling. It was a very popular tier to have, and so in response to all the citizen outreach to us with regards to that, we are doing this amendment to be able to start offering it again. So tonight's requested action is to authorize the mayor to be able to sign this amendment. And with that, Mr. Mayor, I'm open for questions.
Are there any questions? Is there a motion? Your light went on.
I saw a match.
Councilmember Scarborough. I'm going to hit the light before it goes off again. Councilmember Scarborough? Or was that Councilmember Cutback?
What happened, Scarborough?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened. So instead of being... Are we talking about the billing period from 3 months to 1 month?
No. So right now, our citizens in Monroe, they can choose to have garbage picked up once a month versus once a week. However, with recycling and with yard waste, their only option is once a week. And we used to have customers who were able to have it picked up once a month, but they just don't generate that much garbage.
And we're going back to that?
And we are going back to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutback.
Well, I was just going to say, I appreciate listening to the customer's feedback and going to a monthly, especially if they were used to that customer service and some don't have as much garbage and recycling. So I think it's good that we are doing this amendment. So I'll make a motion. Move to authorize the mayor to send amendment number 2 to the comprehensive garbage recycles and yard debris collection contract with Rabanco LTD, DBA Republic Services of Linwood, and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. Okay, the first from Councilmember Cutback and the second from Councilmember Camp for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 17-057. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Go ahead and move on to final action now. This is final action number 1, AB 17-058, approval of union contracts. Mr. Worthen.
Evening, Mayor, Council. I only come up here about every 3 years, so I still get a little bit nervous, believe it or not. So what I have in front of me today is the sort of culmination of 6 months of negotiations between the people behind me, myself, and the Teamsters. They are 4 new collective bargaining agreements that are effective in 2017 and expire at the end of 2019. Just a high-level overview, there wasn't a lot of stuff in the operational contract. It was more around wages and benefits, which, you know, is a good thing. I mean, we as a city were happy with how things were running, and the employees were happy. So we really focused in on wages and benefits, which is important to everybody. So if you look at this year, the sergeants will receive an increase of 4%, the supervisors, which is a small number, 3.5%, and the bulk of our individuals, the clerical, public works, and parks, will receive an increase of 2.5%. So tonight on the table is asking them, or authorizing the mayor to sign this huge stack of contracts so we can get people paid by April 4th.
You didn't tell me there was a huge stack of contracts.
Well, I was hoping, I need their vote, Mr. Mayor. So I'm appealing to them right now. I'm happy to take any questions.
Councilmember Scarborough.
So it's a 2-year contract?
3 years.
3 years.
Yes.
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the 4 agreements between the City of Monroe and public professional office clerical employees and drivers local union number 9 to number 763, representing sergeants, supervisors, public works, and parks, and office clerical employees.
Second. Yeah, the first from Councilmember Kemp, the second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 17-058. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
I just want to thank you for all your work on this and the employees. And, you know, when I first came on council, I think we were looking at union contracts and it was a little bit more bumpy, I think. So I appreciate the staff and the employees and management working together to come up with this. So I'm glad that the employees are satisfied and I appreciate your work on it.
Thank you. It's definitely a team effort.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I should have gone first. That was what I was
No, I really do appreciate your work on this, Ben, and all the city staff. It really speaks to how well the city is functioning currently, and just very, very satisfying to see.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. All right, next item on the agenda is final action number 2. This is AB 17059, ordinance number 004-2017, SUB, amending site plan review code. Finally, Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Council Mayor. So the first reading that took place at the last council meeting was accepted. However, following that, there was a minor oversight on my part where the city attorney had reviewed the proposed ordinance and I forgot to change the word because, and that's B space cause of with requirement. And so that's why you see the sub on the ordinance there. So that is a very, very minor change that took place between the first reading and request to go through tonight. Any questions?
Okay, that's the old one.
Okay, is there a motion or any questions? Council. Councilmember Davis.
I'll move to adopt ordinance number 004/2017, sub, amending Monroe Municipal Code Title 15, Buildings and Construction, Title 17, Subdivisions, Title 18, Planning and Zoning, Title 20, Environment, and Title 21, Development Review Procedures, updating, streamlining, and clarifying the city's land use permit processing regulations to reflect the city's intent and modern practices, eliminating obsolete and or redundant land use approval procedures and requirements, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, we have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Further action as typed in Agenda Bill number 17-059. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much for all the work on this, Council. Thank you very much for reviewing this, considering it, and your approval.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, next item on the agenda is final action number 3. This is AB 17-060, ordinance number 006-2017, repealing MMC 2.26, term limits for elected officials for final reading. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, Mayor and members of the council, on July's council meeting on March 14th, the council discussed 3 options for modification to Monroe Municipal Code 2.26. Make no changes, revise from 8-year term to 3 consecutive full terms, or repeal the term limits. At that time, ordinance number 006/2017, repealing that that portion of the municipal code term limits for elected officials was accepted for first reading, and the ordinance is presented here for consideration for adoption per council's direction at the last meeting.
Thank you. Please let the record show that that council member Gamble walked in as Mr. Mosley was reading the staff briefing. The time right now is 7:27. Thank you, Mr. Mosley. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, is there a motion? Councilmember Hanford.
I move to adopt ordinance number 006-2016, repealing Monroe Municipal Chip Code, Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Okay, I have a motion and I have a second. Zach, Mr. Lell, the ordinance title is ordinance number 006-2017. The requested action is moved to adopt ordinance number 006-2016. Should the requested action be moved to adopt ordinance number 006-2017?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There's a motion on the table. I think the right way to do this is to amend the motion. Is there an amendment to the motion to change it to move to adopt ordinance number 006-2017?
Yeah, I'll amend 2017.
I agree.
Okay, so there's a motion to amend the motion to be 2017 instead of 2016, with a motion made by Councilmember Hanford, a second made by Councilmember Cutaback. Discussion on the amendment to the motion. Okay, seeing none, let's go ahead and vote for the amendment to the motion. This just changes 2016 to 2017. All in favor of making that change, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Now, counting, 5-1. All right, so the the motion now reads, move to adopt ordinance number 006-2017, repealing Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none. Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First off, I want to say thank you for stopping by tonight. Your opinion is similar to ones I've been hearing for some time. The council has chosen to ignore it. I don't think it's a good idea. I think they should pay more attention to how the voters are being addressed, and I don't feel this is the correct direction. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, will the names hold your hands up? I'm very certain I know who they are. Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Camp voting against. Thank you. All right, so motion passes 4-2. All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is councilmember reports. There was not a P4 committee this evening, so we'll just go ahead and go down the dais. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, so first thing up would have been I attended the small cities dinner with Councilmember Camp on discussion around kind of economic development, PSRC. There was a lot of consternation about
dinner?
Yeah, dinner. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of consternation about dinner, too, because Councilmember Camp stole my placard. But they found it. It was on my plate. He was being nice. He was putting it out for me before I got there.
True.
Anyway, I think
there was a couple things that were said there. I know that we had talked about. I know if you had had a chance to talk to the staff, you have not. And actually, there were current leaders, and I'm sure you're well aware. And by the way, our mayor got props from those that were sitting at our table and all of the work that he's been doing with the PSRC. So that was really nice from the representatives from Arlington. Specifically, a lot of nice work on it. But specifically, there was one thing that I think both council member and Camp and I kind of perked our interest, and I know that Brian Walton was there and came up and talked to us afterwards, was that they were looking into the reevaluation of, you know, kind of the economic centers. There's kind of it's disproportionate between the north and the south currently, and that they were going to be potentially looking at, you know, maybe shifting or having more economic centers or regional centers getting turned on. And you know, the questions came up. I know we don't have a light rail, or you know, we wouldn't classify it as a tier one, or even I don't know if they had tier two, but in the tier three regional. And so there was a, hey, is this an area of interest where we would infer a tier three industrial, classified as a tier three industrial center or economic development area. So that was an area of interest. I know that we were kind of perked up. Well, there was a time to, Claire, I know that I think Brian has some input on this, or there was a new reference was made to that effect.
Yeah, we've discussed this. Brad and I have discussed this a little bit. We can bring them up here some other time and discuss the options here.
Yeah, I guess that's really what I'm just looking for. I mean, just that, you know, maybe we can talk about it and, you know, more in depth, because it was I was intrigued in that regard. But there was a lot of consternation about the budget was just let out from at the federal level and what that meant for the PSRC and for transits and that. That was a lot of conversation. It was great dinner, great networking, and it was a good night. Friday was fantastic. Monroe Public School Foundation, I attended that, and Mayor was there. Councilman was there, and then I know that Jeff Rasmussen and the Boys and Girls Club made a donation as well to the effort. Great night. It was a new record. We raised $128,000, $277, $128,227 for kids in the Monroe School District.
We met our goal plus.
Which is just fantastic. For teacher grants, college scholarships, just a lot of hard work, and I really appreciate all those that, even if they didn't end, I know some were coming up saying, hey, tell me how it's going to go. Man, I really wish I could have been here, you know, this year. It's become kind of a, you know, event for, right? We've got a lot of them, right? We've got the Rotary Auction, we've got this, we've got it. You know, it's almost, they've become a, man, we got to be there, you know, type of event. So really appreciate the support, and I'm just super excited to see what we're going to do with that money in the district. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
I also attended the you hit most of the high points. There was one comment that kind of gave me a little pause. They're talking about having a conference or discussion with Congresswoman Bill Benne and Everett officials, I couldn't remember which ones, about the trestle. And the comment that was made after that was that is the only or the most important strangle point in traffic in the area. At which somebody at our table said, I don't think so, maybe a little too loud. That's...
I seconded
it. Yeah. To me, it was an indication of how far we have to go, or to get people to understand the challenges that we're facing in East Norwich County. There's my editorial comment. On a more fun note, I attended the 1960/70s Monroe Historical Society event on Saturday, and it was great. I actually understand some of the references. I've been hearing from people who've lived here a long time. Candy cane driving, the epic of it. Information about the
the old carnation, the smokestack, and how that worked. Can I talk about you a little bit? You want to? Can you stand up and tell us what you got?
I'm humble.
You're humble.
My wife worked at the candy cane.
Oh.
Teresa, will you please approach the podium?
Yeah, come on up.
Since you're being called out.
Baby turn.
I get to put you on the spot. This happens all the time.
Yeah, I was honored, humbly honored to be given the 2016 Historic Society Volunteer of the Year Award.
So cool. Congratulations. Yeah.
Community, and I mean, everybody in this room is such a big part of the community. You know, it takes a village. So I appreciate everybody for what they do here.
Thank you, Teresa. Congratulations. One more thing that I got out of there, they had two items that just, mom's kind of tragic. They had a picture of, I guess Monroe had a really nice train station. Can you show it?
Have you seen this train station? Okay.
Did they have a picture of it? They had a picture of it just at the beginning of the demolition.
What a building.
And I thought, why? Why did they take it down? There must have been a reason. The other point, you got the biggest laugh in the afternoon. They had a newspaper article. This is from 1974, telling us that they were going to start the highway to...
Get it.
How would you buy it?
Bypass that fall. So I just thought it was like that. Anyway, so it's coming.
1974.
Jeez. Okay. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, that was too big.
Pissed it back a couple of years. Thank you, Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Davis. Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford. Okay, Councilmember Cuddeback.
I'm sorry, I missed the ribbon cutting for the plate jump.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, the shovel guy. Yeah. He almost took out his
picker. Wow.
That was going to catch it.
Sorry, I missed it.
I have to. Did you
go
see
ahead.
The picture in the
no.
monitor? So we're all doing the shovel thing?
Yeah.
One shovel is like way up here. You can see he's going for the distance on that. It's a lot of fun.
I just like Councilmember Scarborough's reaction to that, too.
I don't know.
Well, I missed it. I was at the United Way Mixer. There, all the nonprofits got together to collaborate and talk about their next funding cycle. So that's one of the reasons why I missed it. I was at the Monroe Public Schools Foundation dinner auction on Friday, and Councilmember Gamble is probably too humble, but he is the president of that foundation group, so he did an amazing job working with that board and getting it up to, you know, that point where it has become an, you know, event working with food skill, and so kudos to you. So.
Thank you.
And I forgot to mention that the YMCA donated two yearly memberships, and two of them went for $800 a piece, which was, so the YMCA of Monroe raised $1,600 for kids' life, which was great.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I guess we can just echo the groundbreaking for the playground equipment. Mike, you did a fine job. Thank you. Yes, Councilman Gamble threw his dirt the farthest.
Gotta be a competition.
Two short notes on what you said. I have seen a picture of that station, and I think what a shame that it was torn down. What a phenomenal building that was. And second, my wife and her sister both, twin sisters, both worked at the candy cane as teenagers for those folks at all that. So, and it was still here when I met my wife, and had an occasion to get to eat there before it was torn down. Other than that, tomorrow night is the Snohomish County Steering Committee meeting, and I'll attend that, and some of what you said you wanted to hear Brad talk about maybe something that I could benefit from hearing to take to that meeting. If I don't take it this month, certainly I'll take it next month. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to department reports. And we have two updates this evening. One is from the Community Development Department. Mr. Swanson.
So what we're handing out right now as a draft version of a land use map. I noticed from the past couple of council meetings I attended, some things, I don't know, seemed like a surprise to council. And so what I'm proposing to do is, in your packets and then in addition to this map, you'll see a community development update for February, and then it goes through March 15th. And so what I'd like to do is start providing these to council on a monthly basis. And what that would do is give you an idea of what we're working on very early on. You know, what's coming down the pipe, so when preliminary plots are coming up, or even if you have citizens have questions, this will give you some idea of a quick snapshot of development that's going on in Monroe. The second thing this provides, not only the current development, but it goes into some long-range planning also. And so these are code amendments that have, most of them have already gone through Planning Commission or towards the end of Planning Commission that will be coming to Council. And this will give you just some additional time or additional information, so you're just not kind of just hit with it out of the blue and know what staff's doing and what we're up to. And so this map, again, is a draft. Shannon, who's just in here, has been working very hard on this map all day, but some of the things aren't actually are real cooperative. But again, we're looking at some of the preliminary plats, just the orientation and finding out exactly where these developments were taking place in the city. I thought having something like this accompany that would also be helpful go along with the actual report.
Yeah.
And so this is something, again, we just started. We're going to be improving on it, looking at different things. If you have any input or would like to know more information about things, right now the plats are generally broken down into three phases. There's preliminary plat, and so that's essentially the stage when the applicant submits their material. We review it to see if it complies with the code and can they build it, is essentially. And so once the preliminary plat approval goes into a civil stage, and that's when they're actually putting in the infrastructure. And then the final plat phase is when we go through and ensure that they installed everything per the civil plans and comply with the conditions of approval from the preliminary plat, and then they get final plat. So you'll see those three words outlined in the current planning. It's preliminary, civil, or construction, sometimes it's called, and final plat. So I'll give you a general idea of where we're at in that development. And then shortly after final plat, that's when you start seeing the houses pop up. And so a big misconception sometimes, especially with planning, is if they don't see any houses going up, there's no development. When in fact, you know, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 months sometimes before you see houses, planning's working on these applications. So so this will give you some idea of what we're doing in there, and then also general expectations when you can actually start seeing houses come out of the ground. We included business license in there just to give you an idea of kind of what's going on in the community, new businesses, and some transfers in there, and then a number of single-family residential building permits have been issued.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Ben, where is B and J?
Those are
I'm sorry, I found J. Where's B?
That is, Shanna said she couldn't get two to go on the map. The letters to coincide with what was going on the map. So I think maybe she just couldn't get it on the draft version.
Okay.
But we'll send out a revised one once we get everything honed in.
Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
No, okay.
Councilmember Kovac?
What is that little Best City Women? Is that what that?
Yeah, that's a small pocket. Station? Is that where we looking at?
Oh, right here.
Oh, that's the fire station.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. And then the new businesses that you listed in the report, do you know, are they located all throughout the city, or are a bunch of them downtown? I see the empty, obviously Highway 2 diner, I would assume is on Highway 2, but you know, where most of them are?
Are they
throughout the town?
I don't. They're mostly throughout the town. Okay. Like you said, the Junk Sisterhood is downtown. Doctors.
For me, it would be nice to know kind of where businesses are opening. If a majority are downtown, that's good information for me to know. If we're getting stuff in the Frylands Industrial Park opening, so I don't know how easy that is. Just to put kind of area or address or something, that would be helpful
absolutely.
For me.
We can do something that will help you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Mr. Swanson, do you have anything else?
No.
Thank you very much to you and your staff for putting this together and for presenting this evening. It's very helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. The next item that we have that is a presentation is Parks and Recreation Update. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and the Council. So, I have this up on the board here. Okay, so in the Parks Department update for this month, noting the playground, new playground, and groundbreaking last week, as you mentioned, and as we are removing the chips, if the loader breaks down, we know we can call on Council Member Gamble. Yours to workhorse with that shovel.
You'll need to park the truck far away.
I like to toss it.
There.
So there you are. In there. Yeah, so you've already got lift, and I think there's a big clod coming. So I wanted to show you the new downtown furniture. We've been working on that, staff. We've collaborated with staff from our members of the Downtown Monroe Association, and we've also reached out to the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. There are some DMA members here. Samantha Idle is in the audience, and I've been working with her and Diane Ford on looking at options for furniture for the downtown. So we've reviewed some, options on designs for benches, litter receptacles, and bicycle racks. So as it stands now, all of the existing litter receptacles will be replaced with new receptacles in their pretty much the spots they're in now. And they were laid out in as far as the design with the new sidewalk projects and streetscape projects there, where a lot of them have moved corners and the bulb outs, and that really reduced the issues we've had with say some excess amounts of litter, overflowing in the garbage cans that were coming from some of the businesses and tenants and stuff like that when the cans weren't from businesses. We also had feedback in past years that there wasn't a preference to have a garbage can in front of a business, people are going in and out. So we're going to stick with the locations that are the same. So that can in the middle there, it's not the best on here in this overhead, but if you have copies that are down or uploaded in the on the packet. Those cans, they open from the side, so there's some sort of a hidden latch and whatnot, so then the liner inside just comes out sideways and then they can be dumped. Those cans will come with what's called a bonnet that will be secured to the top, so it's sort of a lid that protects weather from going in, water and whatnot. It also limits kind of the size of what you're going to try to shove into the trash can, because the intent of the trash cans downtown are for, folks walking around, you got a cup of coffee or something like that, you finished it, and you want to put it in the trash can. It's not to, take out all of your week's worth of trash and motor up. So I believe that we've done made some improvements and just designed to kind of design out some of the past issues we've had with those. The bench then style, and also the style of the trash cans. So you notice there's vertical lines
and then also the color of them being black. They create a tie, sort of intentional, a little unintentional, just worked out. We're looking for opportunities to tie to the North Kelsey shopping area. Now, that's a more modern shopping development area, but the furniture that are spec'd out and that are there in that area, they have vertical lines, a little modernistic, but they're black, so there's a tie in there. Yet, the design that has been recommended here is more of a classic historic design detail, so that makes more of a classic historic fit for the downtown. The bicycle rack example there, we're looking at, that's an 11 bike rack there. We're looking at the 5, so the bike capacity, so it'll be a bit shorter there. And we're looking at, there's probably 1 to 2 locations in the bulb out areas that are ideal for adding one or two of those. So we're in a phase now where we've really honed in on the color, the style. Now we're canvassing through the downtown, because the last thing we want to do is assume, say, replacing a bench downtown, that the business owners want another bench before we make that investment. So we're in that process right now, and then we'll really get our final numbers on it. But it's appearing that we're going to, we're going to stay in budget. I think we made a really good budget. It's $30,000 for the budget. And just by example, the benches are roughly about $1,500. Cans are about a little over $800. Just kind of gives you a sense of, that they're not cheap. So we're really looking at this carefully. And we're also, like I said, we're reaching out to the business owners downtown. So we really, these replacements are going to be supported by the businesses downtown. Our next step would be then to just finalize the numbers and then make the order.
Okay, before we move on to the next one, Councilmember Cutabat.
I love this, Mike, and I love it that the community and downtown association had input in the chamber, so I appreciate that. Do we have bike racks in our park?
We do have some bike racks
okay.
in some of our parks, and we will have the ability, this is a good point you brought up, leads me to something I forgot. We will have the ability with the existing bike racks that are downtown, and benches and cans, we'll be going through those. I mean, they're pretty worn and whatnot, but at the same time, if there's something, that they service, they really can be serviceable, but we'll be looking at our other parks to basically
okay.
incorporate, so we're not looking at getting rid of them or anything like that. And on another note, let me downsize this. We came up with the idea as well for the bike racks that, those bike racks downtown, at least some of them, as we're looking at these, it's a little distorted there, they're dark green, and if we paint them black, which our crew went ahead and did with those 3 extras that we had, they look great. Mm-hmm. So in some spots in the bulb outs where they are, there's no room to expand, and so these can hold a couple of bikes at least, tied to them, so or chained to them. So that's what we're proposing to do, and it kind of keeps us within our budget, and it really, there's a tie-in, just back on the other photo there, you have the bicycle silhouette, the new larger bike racks have that, so we're, kind of being efficient here, and so that's what we're going to do, but then extra ones of that style, and we have some of the ones that look like a snake in some of our parks. I believe we have a few extras at the yard, too, that we'll look to for opportunities to incorporate them where they're needed.
Okay, so. Great. Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
My observation of this style of bike rack, you might consider a bigger plate on the bottom, bigger footprint, because the ones I've seen look like kids or people have used them for a jungle gym and bent them,
get torqued.
Yeah. And they're cattywampus, left and right, fore and aft, and the bottom plate is bent. So okay. I think you might consider that.
Okay. Thank you. So then, moving along.
want to show you another thing here. Well, I'll just pause here. Adopt a Park, the Boys and Girls Club, has been piloting an Adopt a Park program at Sky River Park. Sign there. So they've been doing various tasks, litter pickup and cleanups. And they'll be doing things like some basic landscaping assistance with us and spreading plate chips. They've done 3 projects so far. And another thing that's upcoming is a grant is being applied through Snohomish County's Small Capital Projects Partnership to purchase and install 4 basic trailside exercise stations along the walking trail at Sky River Park. And it'll be in the general area where the playground is. There's a pathway going along there and some grass it's just grass that's mowed, and so it's just kind of, we're just maximizing the opportunities to develop more in our park. So we're excited about that application, which will be submitted by next week. And I know there's a photo that I don't have an updated of some of the teens that have been doing these projects along with the mayor and I believe the council member Rasmussen.
So. Mr. Grill, about how much are we requesting out of the small capital projects?
$5,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Thank you.
So then, moving along, I also wanted to show you this will be a monthly feature. So last month, weekly maintenance monitoring emphasis by park staff was initiated on unmarked trails at Al Borland and Sky River Parks to identify and resolve, in cooperation with our police department, any unlawful encampments that may occur in city parks. So I've put together this table here. So the dates are weekly, so February and March, a month's worth. And then there's the total labor hours that were spent. So if we had so many people working so many hours, then that's the total. And then really to quantify this, we just figured using bags, because sometimes you have, assorted objects, but we figured that kind of this gives a picture, number of bags of litter collected, and then notes. So this shows a little bit, this tells a little bit of a story. So the first week, 12 and a half hours, the labor hours were spent, 36 bags of litter collected. Now only Al Borland Park was inspected, did not get to Sky River Park unmarked trails that week. 3 abandoned camps were discovered at Al Borland Park, police not contacted. So this is kind of like us cleaning up, catching up what we can find in those little deer paths and footpaths of the unmarked trails. So then the following week, then we dropped a little bit, but down to 9 labor hours spent, and then 16 and a half bags of litter, which is still a sizable amount of litter. So obviously then that was the first week that Sky River Park's little footpaths were scoured. So litter, abandoned camp discovered at Sky River Park near the cabin property. So then, also flipping back over to Al Borland, one person was discovered sleeping behind Al Borland Park sign. The police were contacted. So then the following week, 8 labor hours, and then the following 7 and 7, and then it's 7 bags, 8 bags, 5 bags, and no notes on those last 3 weeks. So it's trending down, and we'll just see in the next month or so here what this kind of levels out to as far as amount of litter and whatnot. So, I mean, we get litter in the parks anyways, so that's the report.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Thank you for this. That's a positive trend there. That's great. If I remember right, I'm trying to remember back, as one of the first reports, you kind of drew a map or where they were kind of going, right? So this is saying that, at least from 221 on, that those two parks, that's kind of the route that they're following.
Yeah, along the river, two long areas, the city parks. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so we're to assume, or it's safe to assume, that any time we see a blank on the notes, that means they were able to make the full circuit.
Just picked up litter and no encampments or any circumstances. Yeah.
Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Councilman Hanford.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Just to echo what Councilman Gamble says.
Thanks.
I've seen all the data, a lot of the cooperation with the teammates.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Grill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Oh, you want to provide, who's doing the lighting? Is that Public Works?
You're staying downtown?
Yeah. That's you. Okay. We'll come back to you. All right. Okay. We'll now go around the horn with staff. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Mr. Worthen?
Nothing tonight.
Mr. Farrell, anything further?
No.
Okay. Mr. Swanson?
Nothing.
All right. Ms. Esser?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Mr. Falber?
I was going to say nothing tonight, but
Carly Weissoy.
They're fine. We're waiting for a response from the Downtown Merchants Association as Mr. Posey reached out to them and asked them what the thoughts of the downtown people were. I know that their executive director went to the businesses, but we haven't received a report back.
Okay. Sorry. And they're out there lit right now, so
they should be, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Chief?
Keeping in line with what Mr. Farrell presented, reference to parks, we were asked to look at three areas as far as panhandling. We haven't had any complaints in the last month. Reports from the citizens to the police department. We received two today. One was the tent that is on top of the old China buffet on Chain Lake. Obviously, none of you have noticed that, which is a unique place and nice view of the city and everything like that.
Is it occupied?
Pardon?
Is it occupied?
No, it wasn't. The caretaker for the property was up on the roof, and you can actually see the tent. You don't have to be on the roof to see it. And it's just a tent.
I totally missed that. I tried by that all the time.
One of our officers tonight is keeping an eye on to see if we can find somebody going up and skyrise or high-rise abode there. And if so, we will arrest them for criminal trespass. And we got one call, and that was also this afternoon, where a citizen called in and said that an individual was requesting permission to camp in their backyard, live in their backyard, and they, of course, didn't think that was the right thing to do, so they gave us a call on the individual. And up in the DOT area, behind the Goodwill, up in that area, there are four new camps. They have just moved 100 yards further into the woods from where we contacted them last month. And we have contacted DOT, and they will be addressing that, and we'll go up with them and when they decide to address that. And calls or dispatchers associated with homelessness, and I know most of you realize this, but we don't classify our statistics other than criminal statistics, so homelessness is not a crime. So we query our system and put the word homelessness in, it won't come up with anything on it. But I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. What it does, what we do come up with is criminal activity, and in the last month, we have arrested two individuals out of campsites. One was for domestic violence, and the other was for criminal trespass. And one was up in the domestic violence was up behind the Goodwill. And that person was down in jail, and he was released to a kind of a halfway home because he convinced the judge that the return to new leaf was lethal and lasted half a day. He was kicked out of the halfway house. So there's a $100,000 warrant out for that individual. And the other individual was camping in the Dells property, right between what I would call the barn and the business establishment there. And We have been given a trespass to stay out of that area because of the kids who live in the county jail. Our social service person will be on board April 10th.
Awesome.
And I believe after the person is will be on what is being hired April 10th and will be on board in the rural area probably by the end of the month because they have to go through some training prior to actually working. And that's when we hope some statistics that will benefit, that you would benefit hearing about would come from because they're required in their job description to keep track of their contacts when and where and the like. So I think you get a lot more out of the statistics once that happens. Let me see, where are we at? Last Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember. When you have a fun time, just realize. We had a SWAT served a warrant here in Monroe, and it was a warrant. The warrants, it was a search warrant plus a warrant for the arrest of an individual for armed robbery and stolen property. We recovered some more marijuana, and marijuana that we recovered had markings on it very similar to the marijuana that, exactly the same as the marijuana was in the cooler. And we have established that marijuana was stolen in an armed robbery of a marijuana establishment up in Arlington. And these individuals were wanted again for the armed robbery of the marijuana store. And not only did they take marijuana, they took some cash too. And we still haven't figured out how the marijuana ended up in the cooler. We do know that it was not dropped off at the Monroe Goodwill store. It was actually placed in a trailer in Snohomish. And the trailer was Goodwill trailer, and the trailer was transferred to the Monroe location, and they were going to take items out of that trailer, and that's when they discovered the cooler. Unknown why anyone would put their, because probably they're using the product too, so maybe that's the reason behind it. But anyway, we also recovered in this search warrant, we recovered an AK-47 that was used in two homicides in Seattle, plus several drive-by shootings. So it was and we did arrest the suspect that we went after. She was in the residence, so it was a good. It was a good warrant, and the guys did a great job on it. Nobody got hurt, and that's the most important thing. Lastly, I believe we may have discussed the military truck that was stolen last week. We have identified all the subjects involved in it today. We have multiple videos of the suspects. And detectives recognized an individual that was, there was just one of the videos just showed a fleeting shot of this guy standing behind the truck alongside Highway 2 with maybe a second. The detectives recognized him, and they contacted him this afternoon. And he handed up the two individuals, and the main person that we're looking for was just released from prison shortly, and was kicked out of a halfway house that he was assigned to. And not only are we looking for him, but the Department of Corrections is looking for him too for violating his probation or parole. So that's all I have.
Okay, that's a lot. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Councilmember Scarborough.
Did the guys you talked to say what they were going to do with the truck?
Pardon me?
Did the guys that you talked to say what they were going to do with this truck? It doesn't go fast.
Do you want to hear the story? Their story? Their story was they were going up to some cabins up near Skycomish for their honeymoon. The only problem was they hadn't gotten married yet, so I don't know what the deal was there, but they got the truck stuck up there because the individual did not know how to put it in the four-wheel drive. And so they got it stuck, abandoned it, and in the meantime, on their way up there, they ran out of fuel again. And an individual from the area here stopped and picked them up and gave them a ride up to Skycomish so they could get some more diesel. And then that person continued on to Leavenworth and spent the night there. And the next day, he's coming back. In the meantime, they've gotten the truck stuck up on the hill up there. And the individual stops at the, there's a deli right across from the Chevron or the gas station there in Skycomish. And he looks, he's eating a sandwich and looks out and sees these individuals he had picked up the previous day. Well, he's a little upset because the guy had spilled diesel in the back of his little Nissan Leaf car. And that's kind of a, you know, I mean, it's an electric car and somebody spilled a petrol in there. But anyway, so I decided to go over and talk to the guy and so they have a little bit of discussion and what the guy's doing up there and the like. So it was ironic that he sees the same guy again. But in the meantime, he found out that the truck had been stolen. So he asked the guy about it. The guy says, well, no, I bought that from my customer for $1,600. Oh, I didn't think you'd steal something. No, I never steal anything. But all this is not the conversation, but the people talking is on video camera. We have cameras on that. So I think they just stole it to go for a joyride. There was no, maybe trying to get to one of the cabins up there, because I guess they do have a problem with burglaries on this empty cabin or something. But they did get it stuck up there. So. That's the short version.
You didn't know much about that truck, because it's pretty hard to get stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief. All right, let's go ahead and Monroe this week. You can see just some notes in there, just some of the things that I was involved in last week. There was ribbon cutting for the park. Thank you to the staff. Thank you for everybody that was able to show up. Had members of the Parks Board there, in addition to council, and looking forward to having that completed before Memorial Day. Attended Housing Hope, the fundraiser, had a number of people there. It was a great night, followed by the Monroe Public Schools Foundation on Friday. Saturday, I got to hang out with one of our local business owners here in town. Not only did I get to learn how to roast coffee, but I actually did roast coffee. That was a lot of fun. And then after that, was able to blend coffee. One of the owners is in the audience here, Heather Rousey. That's from the original Pilot House over on West Main, and they roast their own coffee, blend it, wonderful coffee, and you should check them out sometime. They're mochas. They use chocolate from a bakery or something. So
he's a former pastry chef from Cutter's in Seattle who makes our dark chocolate sauce.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So that was a lot of fun. I have a couple meetings this week, and we'll update you on how those go next week. The Economic Development District, I've already spoken with staff about getting the information from Steve Thompson, who gave the presentation to Stoneman County Cities last week. It sounds like we've got a couple things going on, and I'm trying to figure out which presentation you were given, if it was the Economic Development District that I'm part of, or if it was related to Stoneman County Tomorrow's or something else. The legislature last year, I think it was last year, adopted something in state law that was a pilot program that allows manufacturing industrial centers to be developed north and east of Everett. in cities that exceed 18,000 in population. And at the time that they did that, the only cities that would have qualified that for that would have been Mill Creek and Arlington. And now we're, and at that point in time, we're just a couple hundred under 18,000. Now we're over 18,000, and if that's...
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, so that I think goes to the Snohomish County Tomorrow presentation, and so Councilmember Scarborough is working with our community development director, with Mr. Swanson, to review that material. We talked about it before the meeting this evening, and just based on conversations we've had with the council in the past, it's important that people understand that we're not a regional center in the sense of Bothell, but we certainly are a regional center that's comparable to like Arlington or something, and we are at a transportation node and have access, one of the only ways over the mountains during the wintertime in particular, that connect Everett to the east side, so the east side of the mountains. So we'll make certain that a letter is drafted or comments are drafted that the Councilmember Scarborough can submit on our behalf as part of that Snohomish County Tomorrow discussion, which I think is tomorrow. And yeah, in the meantime, I, like you probably heard from the folks in Arlington, I've been adamant about speaking up in these meetings in Seattle about the importance of, it's not just about the contiguous urban growth area, but it's also the urban growth areas like the Monroes and the Arlingtons and the Sultans and the Snohomishes of the world, that we are cities. We're not some, you know, some suburban rural enclave. We are an honest goodness city. We've got sewer, we've got water, we've got a police department. We have a higher service here than they do just on the other side of the river, or just outside of city limits for law enforcement. And you know, you should be encouraging growth in areas where you have services, not in areas where you don't. So these are things that they hear from me on a regular basis, and it's because of that the Economic Development District document that will be coming out in a couple of weeks will be revised, with one of their statements to be, it used to be focus new growth in the urban center, that's the contiguous metropolitan area, it should say in the urban centers and urban growth areas, which include cities like ours. So what we'll do is get that information from Steve Thompson and update council on what it is that that's going on, and whatever it is that the Councilmember Scarborough takes forward will be copied to council so you can see what sort of comments are being submitted. Those are due tomorrow, right? Councilmember Scarborough?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a short time turnaround.
Yeah, there's a vote on it tomorrow night, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah. So I appreciate you speaking up and reminding them that we are a city, and we do actually attract more people that work here during the day. We're not a bedroom community, even though a lot of people live here and work on the east side, a lot more people come here and work during the day, and they need to hear that. So thank you. So we'll go ahead and hand things over now to Mr. Mosley. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I wanted to give a brief report on where the legislature is. The information I'm going to be sharing with you comes from a discussion, the conference call we had with AWC lobbyists at the managers and administrators lunch today, and also, of course, from information we've gotten from our lobbyists. The Senate transportation budget was released yesterday. There's no money in there for 522. Apparently, individual members' requests or local project requests, of which 522 is one, were not included in the Senate budget and won't be included in the House budget, but there will be some negotiations on those as the House and the Senate get together. So there is anticipation that there will be some individual member local projects included in the final budget. But it's not in the draft budget that was released yesterday. And our, you know, Senator Pearson and Senator Palumbo are both working very aggressively with our lobbyists to try to make sure that in those final negotiations on the budget that the 522 receives positive consideration. On the positive side, there is money in the Senate transportation budget for the 405-522 interchange, reworking that interchange. The Senate General Fund budget was released, our operating budget, I guess generally called, was released today. And you'll recall that our concern, one of our concerns about the operating budget was that so much emphasis on the McCleary decision and funds for that, that a number of the state shared revenue portions that we receive funds from, at least our appropriate portion, would be severely reduced, and in some cases the concern that they'd actually be wiped out. Well, the Senate budget that was released did decrease some of the state share revenues to cities, but to a fairly minimal amount, and they did not sweep them, as they say. There are some reductions, but not nearly as much as what was feared. And the House budget, House transportation budget, House Senate budget, Senate House transportation budget and House operating budget will be released next week, and then the negotiations between the two parties will begin. On the public records bills that were also of interest to us and other cities are still alive, and in the call today, AWC was actually kind of cautiously optimistic that we might get some relief there. Relief in the sense that we can charge a modest amount for some of the public record the requests that we get. And also, the Main Street program, there's a bill that would increase the tax credit for Main Street, but the request was from 1.5 to 5 million, and what's in the Senate budget is from 1.5 to 2.5, so there is an increase, smaller than we had hoped. So as you recall, the city had really three major asks of for this session, that the operating budget, that they not sweep the state share revenues from, and so far that's looking better than we had hoped. We had obviously asked for funds for Lake Ty Park athletic fields. There looks like there's going to be very minimal local government projects in the capital budget. The capital budget has basically most of the money there is because a number of school district bond measures passed, and those measures have to be supported by state bond capacity. So there's just not a lot of capacity there. There are some bills that would increase that capacity, but so far those bills haven't passed. And of course, the third request was for the transportation budget for 522. The current, with the operating budget, you know, they didn't sweep the state shared revenue. The capital budget's probably not much chance of, at least in this session, of that. So we'll probably be focusing our attention and really trying to get some that our local project for 522 in the budget. That's where we're going to need to prioritize our work on all of them, continue to work on all of them, but recognize that that's the one we may have a chance of getting. So with that, Mayor, that's my lobbyist report and my report.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Mosley? All right, draft agenda.
28th, the new business is amending the noticing requirements and amending the decision requirements, and those are still a work in progress. It should be considered tentative at this time. We hope to have one of those, right? Ben? We hope to have one of those for the 28th, or no, we've moved those to the 4th now, right?
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And then the issue of the per capita interlocal agreement will come back to council, and that's the direction that will be the 1 cent version. come back to council. And that's our draft agenda for the 28th.
So do I understand that both new business items are tentative right now?
Yes, and likely go to the day before.
Okay, and the ILA is likely not going to be before the council next week for Sandwich County embedded social workers. Okay. Is there anything on here that needs to occur next week?
Not absolutely.
Okay, so I will acknowledge there's tip of cop next week. I will also acknowledge we have a very light agenda next week, but it doesn't sound like there's anything that needs to occur next week. So if council wanted to, you would have the option to cancel next week's meeting. Now, before I call on the person, let's just double, triple check with staff. Does anybody have any heartburn to council canceling the meeting next week? Going once? Going twice. Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
I move to cancel the March 28th regular business meeting.
Second. Okay, I have a motion to cancel the March 28th regular business meeting from Councilmember Gamble. Second, Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Do you have anything else for this evening?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have no further business this evening. Is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you, Councilmember Cutback, the first, Councilmember Gamble with the second to adjourn. All in favor, any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion passes.